This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Compassion International. We love the partnership that we have with Compassion. We love what they stand for, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And right now, you can go to compassion.com/sportspectrum. There are children right there when you go to that website who've been waiting for more than a year. In some cases, some over 660 days they've been waiting for a sponsorship, for an opportunity, for a chance, for you and I to step up, team up with Compassion, and help release these kids from poverty. And for $38 a month, it's tax deductible. It connects you with a child living in poverty, and your support provides medical checkups, nutritious food, health and hygiene training, educational assistance, mentoring, and most important of all, every child will hear about Jesus Christ and be encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with God. You can learn more at compassion.com/sportspectrum. You'll see a list of children there. You can sponsor that child right now, or you can pray about it, talk about it with your family, and help release a kid from poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion International. Check them out at compassion.com/sportspectrum.
Welcome to the Sports Spectrum Podcast, the intersection of sports and faith. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. So glad you're tuning into our program today. Our website, sportspectrum.com, has all of our content there. Make sure you go check it out. Articles and devotionals and podcasts each and every day. It's updated. It's a great place to bookmark and check out each morning when you wake up and see what new content is there at sportspectrum.com. If you want to reach us via email, you can do that by reaching me directly. Jason@sportsspectrum.com is my email address. Jason@sportsspectrum.com. Maybe you have a guest idea or just some feedback on today's interview, today's conversation. You can email me, Jason@sportsspectrum.com. Well, today on the show, we welcome Bobby Magallanes to Sports Spectrum. He is the Atlanta Braves assistant hitting coach, a World Series champion from 2021, but what a lot of people don't realize is that he waited 30 years to have his shot in the big leagues, and it happened in 2020 and into 2021, and then what happens? He wins a World Series. Are you kidding me? What a great story. But Bobby has gone through it, a lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of that grinding in that minor league system as a coach, a lot of that with a player. I mean, he was selected 50th round of the 1989 MLB amateur draft by the Seattle Mariners, and he played several years in the minor leagues as well as in the Mexican League. Never got a shot in the big leagues as a player, but he had it now and has it now because he's doing it and doing it well with the Atlanta Braves as an assistant hitting coach and now a World Series champion. Bobby has a great story about how faith in Jesus and his relationship with the Lord became real to him. A wonderful story. And a strong faith in God as it guides him with the Atlanta Braves. Let's take a listen to Bobby Magallanes. He is our guest today here on Sports Spectrum. Bobby Magallanes, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Thanks, Jason.
Good. Good to have you here on the show. We're catching you on a road trip now in the middle of the season with Atlanta. What is life like for you on the road as compared to maybe when you're home? Just when it's a normal baseball road trip, maybe family in town, family not in town. What is life normally like for you when you're on the road?
Well, you know, I get to maybe sleep in a little bit. We get to get to the ballpark a little bit later. But you know, on the road, it's like you say, you know, it's, you know, family, sometimes they're with me during the summer because I live in Arizona, so they're in Arizona right now. But during the summer, when the kids get on vacation, their summer break, they'll go with me to Atlanta. But on the road, you know, I get up and I wake up. I do my coffee. I like my devotionals in the morning. That's what I do every day. So I like to read, like get my cup of coffee in the morning and do that. And then go over a little bit on my computer or iPad, go over the opposing pitchers of that day. and maybe again, maybe even take a walk or go to the gym in the morning here. That's what I like to do. So that's basically what my days are when I'm on the road.
What are devotionals like? When you say you do devotionals, what does that consist of?
Oh, well, I got some on my app. I got the Bible app. I got devotions I've downloaded on that. Plus, I got books that I read. I'm always reading. That's one of my hobbies. My number one hobby is reading. I love reading. And I mean, I bring books on the road. And my Bible, obviously, I got that. But I like to read. I'm always reading books. So my devotionals are considered what I have on my app. And also stuff that gets sent to me, email. So, I'm always reading. So I always have stuff coming in and I like to take notes too. So, I like the information.
All right. So what are you reading now, or what's the book that's impacted you the most that you've read over the past, I don't know, 6 months to a year, we'll say.
Right now it's a book called How to Stop the Pain. And it's a phenomenal book. It just talks about all our scars and all of everything we've gone through in the past and how to heal, whether it be, I mean, anything. It can be a divorce. It can be addiction. It can be just anger. It can be jealousy. I mean, just so much stuff, sin in itself. But it just talks about how to heal that. And it's so far, the first couple of chapters I read has been impactful. Because it's like, wow, this is something that really I really suggest and have everyone read that book, just because it brings healing. Mm.
So last year, as we pivot a little bit from reading to on the field, last year was such a dream season for any team that wins the World Series, certainly the Braves winning the World Series last year. But it was your first year in the major leagues, and you get that ring. I know earlier in the season, you had this opportunity and you ended up receiving your rings in a pregame ceremony in Atlanta, that gigantic ring, by the way. What was that experience like for you to get that ring and just kind of see the culmination of what you all went through and achieved last season?
It's a dream. You know, words can't describe that feeling. It's what you dream of when you're a little kid, and then to actually do it and be there and you be a part of that, it's like, does this really happen? I talked to Ozzie Albies yesterday. We were talking. He was right. It was San Diego Padres opening day, and they're going to present us. We're getting ready to go out to present us on the line. And I'm talking to him there in the dugout, and he goes, "I still can't believe that we actually won this. I still can't believe we have the ring." It's like, and I go, "Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like, does this really happen? Did we really do this?" And that's just the way the feeling is. And it's just everything. Everyone's in awe of it because it's what you dream about. Since you're a little kid, even as an adult, you dream about winning a World Series, and that's what you work for. And there's so much sacrifice involved, so much perseverance of everyone we went through. It took me 31 years to get to the major leagues, a lot of bus rides, a lot of heartache, a lot of times where I wanted to get up and quit. And all of a sudden, my first year, God grants me the petition of my heart. And it's a World Series. So it's like, I couldn't have written the script any better, you know, because I know I wanted it my way. It would have been 20 years ago, but God said, hold on, you know, there's a reason why, you know, just wait upon the Lord. And he gave that to me. And it was really special, that award ceremony for me, because my dad passed away March 17th. And I didn't go to spring training because I was attending him at the hospital and he passed away. And that was emotional for me because it just, I mean, it still hurt me right now as we're talking, because it's, he gave me everything. He was the one who took me to go work out, practice, hit me ground balls, playing catch with me, you know, and then for him not be able to see that, the fruits that he gave of all the sacrifices he made for me and my brother to achieve a dream. So that was an emotional period for me.
He was able to obviously watch you win the World Series and see that.
Yeah, you know what? He did. He got to watch it on TV and very proud. I mean, I got him a World Series hat. I got him a coat, and he was in a group home, And the caregiver would tell me he does not take off that hat, the World Series hat. He doesn't take off. He says, look, this is my son. And, you know, he had dementia, and he thought I managed the team. He thought I was the manager of the team. And so he's like, yeah, my son's managing the team, you know, and good dog, dad. But yeah, he was so proud.
That's great. Bobby, take me through last year personally for you and what you experienced, not just watching the team have all that success, but you mentioned this 30 plus years and finally you get your opportunity to be in the big leagues. Even maybe take me back to when you got that call and you found out you're going to be with the Atlanta Braves and not maybe a minor league team or another team that you have been a part of in the past. You were going to be in the big leagues with the Atlanta Braves. Take me through that moment getting there and then what you were kind of learning and maybe what that adjustment was like for you throughout 2021.
Well, you know, I was with the Major League Club in 2020 with the shortened season. So they told me, hey, you're going to be with us because they expanded the roster. So you're going to be with us. I still had a title of a minor league coach. I was just going to go help out, but I ended up being there the whole season. So that was an experience that I got to have that really helped me out for last year. But then, you know, Alex Anthopoulos gives me a call, our GM, in November and says, hey, you know, there's another team that called, asked permission to speak with me, to offer me a job, major league job. And he says, look, we're going to promote you. So, you know, we're going to deny that permission from this team because we're going to promote you. You're now going to be an official major league coach and you're going to be the assistant hitting coach. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, thank you. And he said something in the call. He goes, hey, man, you're moving quickly, man. You're moving up really quickly. Everything's happening fast. And inside of me, I went, yeah, it's only taken 31 years to be an overnight success. I don't think he understood that, you know. Yeah. So it was quite weird when he said that. I went, oh, Alex, it's been 31 years, man, and finally got the call. But it was a great, great moment for my family. You know, we embraced each other, tears, and called, you know, my dad and my brother. And I said, wow. I mean, and everyone cried because they knew everything I went through and to get there and how much work it took and perseverance. And, you know, the word of God says that those who persevere to the end shall be saved. So it definitely is worth a while.
Bobby Magallanes is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, Atlanta Braves assistant hitting coach, World Series champion as well. You've mentioned Christ quite a bit. You mentioned your faith. Let's talk about that. Let's go a little deeper there and tell me about the importance of Jesus in your life and how he kind of guides you each and every day.
Well, I mean, that he's the center. He's the center of what I do. You know, even before Christ, you know, I had faith in God, but didn't have no relationship. You know, I was doing it my way. And the way I look at it is, you know, it's tough enough to live life here on earth, but with Jesus. Now, without him, it's even worse because there's no hope. And it just, I just go into scripture and I read, like I said, I read a lot. And that's what gives me the hope, even through all my struggles, even through the times I've messed up and my worst moments, he's there and I know I'm forgiven. You know, that's the thing that gives me the hope is that he's forgiven me all that. And he just, hey, keep going forward, Bobby. I got you. You know, and he gives me the strength to go every day and the wisdom. So I look to him for everything. I make him the center of my coaching. I make him the center of everything I do. And that's where I get my strength from. And again, we all fall short of the glory of God, but it's with him that we have eternal life and we have hope and we have life and life in abundance. So he's the center.
You said you believed in God, but didn't have that relationship for a while. Tell me about the moment or moments or time frame, if you will, when that changed for you, when you developed and began a relationship with the Lord.
Well, I was, when I got drafted, by Seattle Mariners, the scout who drafted me gave me a Bible and a workbook. And I said, no, I don't want it. I said, I'm good. You know, I got my religion. I told him, and he was like, hey, I'm just giving you a Bible and a workbook. And I didn't want it. So I took it and I put it in a drawer and, where I thought it's the bottom, I'll never forget in my room where I live, the bottom drawer. That's where I put all the stuff I didn't care about, you know, like none important. So I just put it there. So I signed, went to go play pro ball. And 10 years later, after getting released four times, three surgeries, not going well. I'm going to quit baseball, retire, and go back to school, and, you know, maybe I'll do something else. And I get a call from this independent league team, and they give me a call, and he said, hey, come play. And now I'm retiring. He's like, it was just, you know, one more year. And I said, no, I'm going to go back to school. And they said, when are you going back to school? I go, school starts in September. And this is in late May. And he goes, well, why don't you come and get some money for school and you can take it? And I went, man, that's a great idea. I didn't think about it. I'm like, you're right. So let me get some money for school. So I went back to play. And as I'm getting my plane, I'm going to go to the airport. I'm packing and I'm going, what am I missing? And I open up the drawer and the first thing I see is that Bible and that workbook 10 years later in its place, the way I left it. And as I told you, I love to read. So I took it. And as I'm cross country flight and I'm thinking, I left something. I kept thinking I left something. So I land, get my bag, go to the hotel. And the first thing when I open up my luggage, the first thing there is the Bible and the workbook, because that was the last thing I packed. So I took the cover off, ripped it, opened it up, and then it said Growing in Christ. So as I open it up, the first thing it says, 1 John 5:11-12. And it says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. That hit me because I'm going, why am I so miserable? What I put my hope in and love was baseball, and it was giving me the most miserable time of my life. And I went, now I know why I'm not enjoying the game, is because I don't have the Son. I don't have life. And that's when I went, oh my gosh. And then the next day it was another verse, and I'm reading, and it's a Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in everything you do and he will lead your path straight. And I went, I'm not acknowledging him. You know, I'm not trusting him. I'm trusting him. I want to build. I'm trusting in me and my hope. And I just couldn't put the Bible down. And next thing you know, I was starting to take it to the stadium, because I was like, this is incredible. It's speaking to me. And guys are laughing at me like, come on, man. Like, you know, this and that. Like, I'm serious. Look what it's saying. And 7 days later, Jason, I'm in my hotel room and I got the Bible. And because of my personality, like, you got to show me stuff, you know, prove to me. And I went to God. I said, okay, if this is true, I got the Bible. If this is true, I put it down on the floor. I go, here I am. If this is true, take me. And I've been walking with him ever since. That was my born again moment. You know, I didn't say a sinner's prayer. I didn't say none of that. It was like, I just put my faith and trust in him. And it's been incredible.
So what changed after? Because it's not like you said, it's not like you went to the big leagues the next year and won the World Series in year one after becoming a follower of Christ. There was a minor league grind that was, you know, happening with you that you traveled through Mexico and the Mexican League, lots of different things that were happening in your journey. And I'm imagining you've also experienced ups and downs in regular life, like we all do. So take me through what changed, even though life wasn't exactly like, you know, snap the fingers and everything's better right after.
Yeah, it got worse.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It was putting my faith and trust in him. And when I talked to him, I said, I don't care anymore. Take baseball away from me. I don't care. That's when I said, I don't care anymore, because I was putting my faith and trust in the worldly things, in baseball. And it was giving me the most miserable thing. And I just said, I don't care if you take it away. I'm yours now. Do what you want with me. I surrendered. I waved the white flag. I said, I give up. And I went to the worst slump of my career too. I went 4-for-34. I was hitting 125. And I'll never forget, I went like 15, 20 at bats in a row without a hit. And after one at bat, I went out on defense and I made the last out. One of my teammates gives me my glove. I go to defense and I got my glove and I looked up in the sky and I said, hey, I told you, I don't care. I said, do what you want. I was enjoying playing baseball like never before. And I was in the worst slump of my career. And that had never happened where I'm like with a smile, like, let's go play. And you know what? It turned around. I ended up hitting 295 that year. That was probably one of the best seasons I had. But the point is after that, I played a couple more years and retired and went to coaching. And it doesn't, like, your problems don't go away. But the point is that he's in the middle of those problems. he's in the center. He's like, you know, I'm going to guide you through this. Don't worry about it. I got your back. And that's the hope that I told you I've been having. So no, it doesn't like all of a sudden like, oh yeah, great. Everything. Heck no. I mean, again, 32 years, 31 years. And it was a grind, but during that whole time, he was molding me and was preparing me for a time like this.
How did you, as you are a coach now, right, navigate the world of living out your faith as a baseball coach? Obviously, you were hired to do a good job as a coach. You're not hired to be a pastor or a preacher, and yet Christ is the center of who you are. How do you navigate that? You know, and maybe over the last few years, even learning to navigate that on the highest level, when you have some players that believe, some that don't, some coaches that might believe, some that don't, and you got to kind of figure out how to live out your faith, but at the same time, be a really good baseball coach.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, God wants me to be the best coach I can be. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, study to show yourself approved. It's you gotta prepare. I mean, that's like, I'm representing the Most High God. So it's like, I want to be at my best. I'm going to bring my A game every single day. So I'm always trying to go to hitting conferences or read books and, you know, go online and see what other coaches are teaching and what's the latest technology. I got a master's degree in performance psychology. So I study motor skill learning. I study the mental part. I mean, all that stuff. I don't just sit back. I'm always studying, trying to get better and learning. So that's what I do. So when I come, like I said, Jesus is the center of everything I do. He's the center. So I don't just leave him out of the batting cage or out of the stadium when I come in. I mean, he's everything. I need his wisdom to teach. You know, I need his guidance. I need his presence. I need his Holy Spirit. I need his understanding. I need all that to be able to do my job. And that's where I look to him. Okay, I don't know what to do with this guy, Lord. You tell me what you know him. You know this hitter. You know how he thinks. You know who he's going through. Just give me discernment because I don't know what to do right now. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, days later go by, I was just like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm starting to see this. You know, it's just certain things that, again, when you said about how do you separate, how do you do it? It's like, I don't. It's like he's the center of what I do. I don't go up and start, hey, repent or you're going to hell. I don't do that. It's the point is that when I teach and when I'm coaching, I'm being led by him. So that's what I do.
Yeah, we had Kevin Seitzer on a couple months ago. We've had Dansby Swanson on this show a couple months ago. We had Terry, your team chaplain, a couple months ago, obviously taking advantage of the fact that y'all won the World Series. But I was fascinated by what faith in the clubhouse looked like. So what does that look like, say, today for you when you think about, okay, you do your devotionals in the morning, and that's the most important part, right? Your relationship with the Lord, your personal relationship. But then there's fellowship. Then there's discipleship. There's opportunities to be poured into. There's opportunities to pour into others. What does that look like for you inside the clubhouse within the parameters of obviously still understanding that you're in there to be a coach?
Well, you know, first of all, again, of those who are Christians on the team, I mean, we have the fellowship, you know, and those who are not, I love them even more. It's like, I try, hey, what's going on? And just try to get to know them, you know, like, who are you? How's your family? What do you do? You know, what's your story? It's like, that's relationship. That Jesus was relational. So, and we were created in relationship to be in relationship. So that's what it's about. It's creating relationships. And I like doing that. But once again, with those of us who are believers and are Christian, we can share our faith in the locker room. We can share it in the cage. It's like, it's awesome. I mean, it's like open. Hey man, there's going to be Bible study, you know, later on, or, you know what, you got anyone interested? We talk openly about it. Why? Because this is who we are. We're not faking this. And it's for anyone. It's not, you don't have to go. It's just, if you want it, you know, hey, there's going to be chapel at this. Hey, when's chapel? Oh, hey, we announce it. So, I mean, we talk openly about it. Again, it's not like we're like, just like, hey, you have to go. No, by any means. It's just that whoever wants to go, you know, you can go. But our faith, we pray for one another. Hey, man, how are you doing today? Hey, man, can you pray for this? Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray. We've prayed in the batting cages. We've prayed in, when we're on the field. It's like, we've done that. It's like, hey, you know, it's a lot of times you say, oh, I'll pray for you. And we never do. It's like, no, let's pray on the spot because I'm going to forget. you know, like, hey, man, you know, I'm still going through so-and-so. I'm going through this right now. Oh, you know what, man? Let's pray about it. And that's what it's about. And the thing is that God honors that. His word says, I honor those who honor me, and those who disown me, I disown. If you honor me in front of man, I'll honor you in front of the Father. Jesus said, he goes, if you disown me in front of man, I will disown you in front of the Father. I take that seriously because I don't want to be disowned by him. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be out here like that. It's like, no, man, it's like, this is who I am. Jesus said, it's like, I'm not faking this, you know? And but thing is, it's love. You love on them. That's where you're going to show who Jesus is, just by loving on people.
It probably opens up a lot of opportunity for you to have real conversations with those who believe and those who don't believe about your faith when you're real about it, but at the same time showing them that you're in their corner and that you yeah. love them no matter where they are on their walk, that you're there. But it allows you probably to have lots of amazing conversations I would have had over, or I would have guessed over the years.
Oh, I mean, Jason, it's like a couple players will get me to the side. Let's say we're during the game, we're in the cage, and all of a sudden they'll walk, and all of a sudden maybe I'm by myself in the cage, you know, during the game, and then a player come and they see no one's around, and I'm telling you, it's happened where they've gone and say, hey, so you're a Christian. How did you become Christian? Well, what made you do? It's like they want to know, but they're afraid of the ridicule with everyone else. But when we're by ourselves, they're asking questions. It's like, praise God, you know, it's like, this is cool. And I share, yeah, man, absolutely. Anytime you want to talk about it. And but they ask, it's like they do. They, because there's a need for God. We all have it. And it's just that, you know, we're like, oh, I don't know about this. And I might be ridiculed and all that. And so you're right. I mean, those conversations, it's awesome, man, because it's not just one or two, it's quite a few. And I had those last year with a couple of non-believers that came up to me to ask.
All right. So as we wind down, I did want to ask you, your title is assistant hitting coach with the Braves. So what does that entail during a season? As Kevin Seitzer is there, obviously he's the hitting coach, and you and him probably work in tandem, I would imagine. But what is it like during a game day? You even just mentioned during the game, I'm in with the guys in the cages, and I'm thinking, all right, so what does that look like during a game? So where are you during, you know, pregame, during the game? What's kind of your role?
Okay, so obviously, I mean, Kevin's the main hitting coach. He does a phenomenal job. He's on everything. He's prepares. I mean, Kevin prepares a lot. He's good. I help him with that a little bit with the preparation. I'm in the cage, helping out the players with anything they need with their swings or anything they want to talk about. Obviously, I go through Kevin. Hey, Kevin, here's what I'm seeing. What do you got? We talk about it. But yeah, I mean, there are certain hitters that go to certain coaches. We have three hitting coaches, two assistants. So, you know, some guys want to go to one guy, we're going to go to the other guy. So that's the way they are. The hitters, they connect with certain coaches, so they like to work with those guys. But I'm in there, you know, flipping the cage, you know, helping them out with that. The other thing, too, is during the game, I'm in the cage just in case guys need to pinch in, get ready. So I'm in there in the cage just helping that out. You know, we have a lot of the information. We have all the scan reports there as well. And once a guy's warming up in a bullpen, we see, hey, this guy's warming up. There might be a pinch hitter maybe coming in. Hey, this pitcher's pitching like this. He throws this, you know, get ready to face him. And so I'm preparing those guys to face those pinch hitters and getting them ready to pinch hit. So that's what I do in the middle of a game and to get those guys ready. And that's my function. It's to help out Kevin in anything I can and to help the players out as well.
Yeah, I don't think fans understand. There's actually batting cages in underneath behind the dugout, right? On the clubhouse in the lower area at pretty much every stadium, right? That's what you say when you're in there with a guy who's pinch hitting. They're actually going into a cage that isn't seen, you know, by the fans because it's underneath.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're all at home, usually the home team has two cages. On the road, we have one. But yeah, I mean, they're working. I mean, they're preparing. That's the thing. It's like, you're preparing, you know, when you watch the games that, you know, a guy pinch hits, obviously see a pinch hit homer or great at bat. They didn't see the preparation that hitter did innings before to get ready for that at bat.
Yeah. That's great to hear. Bobby, this has been great. Thank you for being here, my friend. My last question for you is a question we ask all of our guests here on Sports Spectrum. What are you learning from God right now? What is he teaching you? It sounds like you've been through a lot the last month or so. And baseball's back, obviously, and that's a wonderful thing. And you're back on the road and coaching. What is God teaching you right now in the moment that you're in life?
Right now, and I go back to this book that I'm reading, How to Stop the Pain. It's a judgment. I didn't realize how much we judge and how much I judge. We judge feelings. And I'm not just talking about judging a person. Oh, man, look, he thinks he's all that. No, I had not like that. I mean, that's bad. If we do, that's not good. But just judging feelings, judging how we perceive people. Like, we think that they're, oh, this person did this because of this. And now we're judging them. Like, no, we don't know what's inside their heart. Like, we don't even know what they're thinking. So we judge a lot. We judge why people always ask, hey, this person did this because of this. Now we're judging, you know, and it's opened up. I'm going, man, we judge so much with that. And again, it's kind of taking the veil off because, you know, like I always thought judging is just like, oh, this guy's an idiot, excuse me that word, but you know, now I'm judging them. But no, we judge in other ways in terms of judging even their feelings. Like, oh man, this person shouldn't be feeling that way. But that's judging them. You know, oh, you know, this person shouldn't be thinking this way. Now I'm judging them because we don't know. And now by doing that, it's like, instead of judging, we should validate the feelings, validate them. You know, and that's one thing that I think right now God is teaching me is not to be so judgmental, because again, there's more ways of being judgment that we thought is not judging. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I never realized that I would do that. And I didn't, to be honest with you, it didn't bring conviction on me because I didn't think it was sin. But now that I realize, like, it is, it's like, we don't know what's inside a man's heart or what they're feeling, what their true feelings are. And if we can validate those feelings, it just makes relationship better, and that person can be understood.
He is Bobby Magallanes. Hey, thanks, Bobby. Really appreciate it. Congrats on the World Series. I know you got to, you know, turn the page and move on to this year, and you have done that, but it's still a pretty cool thing that maybe, who knows, hopefully you have four or five more rings, but if it's only one, you'll always have 2021. We just appreciate you for being here and sharing your story on Sports Spectrum. Thanks, buddy.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
And thank you to Bobby Magallanes for being here today on Sports Spectrum. What a great guy. What a wonderful story, a wonderful journey that has culminated with him now at 52 years old. And he wins a World Series championship as the Atlanta Braves assistant hitting coach. And the Braves, man, I mean, they were locked and loaded last year with a lot of firepower, have a lot of firepower this year as well. It'll be fun to see how the season plays out. But either way, as I told Bobby after we finished the interview, he will always be able to call himself a World Series champion. It's funny, I was going to ask him on air, and I asked him off the air about that World Series ring. It's so big, right? It's this huge ring, and you can't just go around and wear it everywhere you go. And they actually told him and all the players, when they receive their World Series rings, to make sure they take out an insurance policy for it because it's worth that much money. And so it's one of those things where I thought, you just got to get a safe for it, right? And make sure you hide it in the safe so nobody can get it. And when are you going to wear it? And he's probably going to wear it at like special functions, or, you know, when he's speaking or has a personal private, you know, engagement thing going on where he can wear the ring. But otherwise, it's probably not going to get worn much. It was really a fascinating conversation off the air that him and I had after we finished taping. But again, I just appreciate him for spending a few minutes with us here at Sports Spectrum and sharing his love for Jesus Christ. And that's what we do here at Sports Spectrum. We bring Jesus, try to keep Jesus in the sports conversation, and we've been doing that for 30 plus years at Sports Spectrum. You can find us on the website, sportspectrum.com, each and every day. That's our homepage for all of our content, and then certainly our social media pages. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. All of our content can be found there as well on our social media pages. Make sure you click that follow or subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast, 3 a week. So make sure you stay in tune to what we have going on by clicking that follow or that subscribe button on the podcast app you listen to podcasts on. And again, thanks for tuning in. to our show today. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.